thou canst not hear, that which I do say unto thee.
Yes, can hear quite well. Yes, friend.
Peace be unto thee.
Thank you.
Thou art not unfamiliar to thee. I have seen thee on other times.
Oh, yes.
When thou hast been here, I also have been present.
Yes. I'm very pleased you have.
Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you.
My name is Jeremiah.
Jeremiah? Oh, yes.
Jeremiah.
Do you mean the one in the Bible?
No, no, no.
Oh, no.
No, it was true. My father did ask, so should I be named by preacher?
Yes.
My name is Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah. Yes. I have been here many years. Many, many years. It was in the time of the King Charles.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
King Charles I.
We're very pleased to come through and
come along, friend. You're very plain.
You're very plain, very clear. We're very pleased you've come through.
It's a long time since last I spoke.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many, many years since last I was on the earth. Many years have come and gone, and I have been to earth sometimes to watch the peoples. Though times have changed, the people remain the same.
May I ask how you passed over and how you found yourself when you did so?
I was killed in battle.
Yes.
I was killed in battle.
Yes. Over Jeremiah, how did you find yourself? What reaction did you have?
Reaction.
What is the fit?
I was a foot soldier.
Yes.
In the remember? Nothing. No. Only after I see myself on the ground, all around my body. Which had been instilled by my father's teachings. against the evil, and also to place God before all things. I realized almost in the instant that my father's conception of God was not a true one. There were many things I realized, almost as if they come to me like the flash and the lightning. The great things were yet to be revealed, and that I must be patient, that I must not endeavor to in any way get by my position, by allowing myself to become involved in the warring state of mind that existed with so many of my people around me, and so make my way from the battlefield. And I trudge the road, which was, I knew, the road leading to London. I do not know why it was that I should have chosen this road, or why it indeed was that I should think that it was necessary to continue to remain on earth. But I suppose it was that in a kind of way which I could not understand, that I was not ready to enter into any other condition of life, that I indeed did not seem to know if it was possible. I was at that moment under the idea that all who were dead and yet found themselves alive were still in some strange way part of the earth, and that one perhaps was condemned to walk the earth, perhaps for, I do not know, for a long time. I do not understand. I'd heard in the teachings of my father and the reading from the Holy Book many strange things, and I thought perhaps that it was that it had been for me to be condemned to walk the earth. I was in a strange manner of thought, and I walk and walk and walk, and my feet touched the street, and I could hear the ring tone of my feet on the roads. It was that I seemed as real and as solid and as natural as I had always been. I still wore the rough jerkin and the leather belt and all the accoutrements of war. Around my waist was my sword, on my head was my helmet, and I could feel the growth of hair on my back, and it was as if I was as natural as I had been before I was killed. And yet I felt a lightness in my feet. I felt no tiredness. I felt no desire for war or to draw my sword. Indeed, there was no occasion to do, though I passed many people dressed, some in the manner of the cavaliers and some in the manner of the roundheads, and many rustics, many peoples of the farms on the way. But then none of them seemed to see me, and yet I knew that some of them were as I was, because I had already learned to see the difference between those who were not dead and those who were dead. For those who were dead, there was a difference. Though there was a sense of reality with them, there was an obvious difference. There was an illumination around them, which in some way seemed to express to me the reality of the fact that they were no longer on the earth. Whereas with those of the earth, there was a darkness and a heaviness about them. There was something which seemed to indicate that they had not yet left their bodies. Yet if you were to stand side by side a person of the earth and a person of the spirit, who no longer had the physical material body of earth, In the first glance, they would appear the same. But you would see the luminosity, you would see the illumination, you would see the light that was arrived in spirit, as if it had in some strange way freed itself from the darkness of the earth. But of course, even so, though there was those who had risen like myself, even they were obviously in many ways different one to the other. This, I found later, was due to their ideas and due to their thoughts. But I, in my own way, was content to go as I was going. I spoke to no one, and no one spoke to me. It was as if I was of the world and not of the world, as if I was conscious of all around and about me, as indeed I was, and also at the same time, I was not in any way part of it. Inasmuch as no one stopped me, no one spoke to me, no one in any way had affected me. And gradually I realized that I was approaching the gates of London. And here I thought it would be interesting to see what was happening and how the news of the battle had been received. Because at this time I had discovered, I had realized that battle had been won and that we should ride with the king, had either been killed or was in fright. I walked the streets and all around me there seemed to be an atmosphere which was not of rejoicing as I would have expected. But of apathy, as if there was a feeling among the people of something that they felt would happen, and yet they were not rejoicing. There was not the feeling that one would have expected after a great victory. But later I realized that many people, especially in London, were very much in favor of the king. There was a great feeling among the people disappointment, and yet at the same time one realized that the people themselves were not disinterested, but they realized they could do nothing, and they accepted the fact that they would have to subject themselves to the rule of Cromwell. Cromwell was a man, though I did not know him personally, neither did my father, so that my father quickly went into his army. I realized that Cromwell was a man of great determination and will, but a man who fundamentally was cruel. And in some ways, later I discovered, was worse than the king, who was not himself by any means cruel, but just negligent and foolish. Whereas the king had been foolish and unwise and thoughtless, Cromwell was determined and ruthless, and also much that he gave out, I realized, was not good. A lot of things that caused great concern at the time were based on palaces, based on intolerance. Of these things I was not to know in my youth, but later I learned from experience. I witnessed many things which caused me great concern. I realized much that was preached was wrong.
What are you doing now, Jeremiah?
I preach, but I do not like the word to preach. Mm-hmm. I suppose it is as you would expect, to preach, to talk, to speak, to enter into spheres and domains of the spirit, which are near the earth, which are unprogressed, centuries the time that I have been dead, I have never failed to keep in touch with the world. I have endeavored to learn more of man's mind. And as I see into man's mind, I realize that much remains the same. Man himself changes very little. Always there are causes that man will uphold. Sometimes they are good, but more often than not they are bad. Often man is led into the paths which are not of righteousness and truth, but the paths of unrighteousness and deceit, and sometimes wickedness. These things oftentimes are given the guise, the outward sign of goodness. They are given the impression that it is good to do the things that they do, for the ultimate victory will be the good of man. But it is not so. I have learned many things, but one thing I have learned about it, that only love can cure man's ills. It is no good to fight. It is no good to kill. To uphold the cause is good, but when you are requested to take up arms to defend that cause, then something is amiss. For no good can come of killing one's brother for difference of opinion, for difference of idea. The other man's thoughts and ideas may not please you, but for his state of mind, perhaps, they are good. You must learn to live with each other. You must learn to accept each other. You must learn to forgive each other. And when we cannot see eye to eye, when we agree to differ, we must give the other man the idea, at least, that he is entitled to his opinion. There is too much made of patriotism. There is not enough in your world of universal spirit and thought and well-being. When man forgets himself, when man forgets his country and the confines of his country, and indeed the confines of his state of mind, when he opens up himself to the great teacher Jesus, when he accepts and realizes the great possibilities of life for all God's children, that he is a member of the great family, that all are deserved in the sight of the great spirit, that each man is on the road of progression, some may be far behind, but it is all the more reason why those who go far ahead should wait a while, that others may catch up with them, or indeed return and retrace their steps to heaven, for those who stumble by the wayside, to stop, to speak unto them, to be the good Samaritan, not to be selfish, to go forward without the thought of those less fortunate. Man must learn to give himself in love, even though it means suffering, even though it means sometimes holding oneself back in the race. If the race is a good race, it matters not who wins. What matters is how much you have done, how much you have achieved for others. He who gives himself finds himself. I can recount many things, many great battles, won and lost, and yet no one wins any battle. All lose who fight, but all win who love. In the times of which I spoke first, in which I have my life, I see the folly and the futility barriers that lie between men and the world. Each must sacrifice himself. Each must be medical to the other. Not be so sure that he is always right. Sometimes to meet halfway. There must not be any more wars. We have seen great tragedies, and each war is greater than the last, more terrible. I suppose, if you to look back in time, to the time of which I first spoke, our war then, which was to us a big war, was like nothing more or less than a scourge in comparison to the wars that you have now. Even in your own time of life, the wars become more terrible, more horrible, and untold numbers of souls are thrust into the outer regions, away from the earth, and yet still often off the earth. They are given no opportunity to live and to experience. Too much youth, too many young souls. Ah, as it were, like seeds in the ground, before they had a chance to spring into life, are plucked and thrown on the wayside. We must not commit these things. I have for a long time wished to help, wished to do something. I have often tried to communicate, but have not done so, because I have not felt that it was the moment for me. Others have been to do many great souls. Many who bear noble names, great names. There are those who come in humbleness, who have no great name, but who come with great love. We who come to you, from all the different walks of life, if you would say, yet we come as one spirit, we come as one party, full of the intensity and the desire to serve. You have great opportunity. You do great things in a small way. There are no limits to what you can do in time. You have already been given the opportunity. Many souls have been to you and spoken unto you, and you have, by this new method of machinery, been able to place in the hearts and the minds of many these truths. You have been blessed, and you will be blessed indeed more so as the years go on. The way will be shown to you, for you have never failed to do that which you have been called upon to do. You have been truly great, and I and others who come are grateful to you, for you work in love and in true cooperation with us all. I have learned many things. I have learned, above all things, that to serve is the greatest of the joys. You truly serve, my friends. I wish you well. I shall come, if I may, to you again and speak unto you. And if there are questions that you would wish that I should answer, if it is in the power for me to so do, I shall do with great joy in my heart for you.
Thank you very much.
Can you answer one now, Gilmore?
If it is possible.
Can you tell us who helped you when you passed over? Who helped you to progress?
Yes, that is not difficult, because it was not one, it was seven.
Uh-huh.
I, for some months of your earth time, lingered around the earth and absorbed many things that were happening. And as I became more and more conscious of these things, I realized that there had been no victory, no battle had been won, no one had benefited, no one had indeed found any joy, any happiness, any peace. And I knew, as I watched and I listened, that the time would come when there would be more war, when there would be more upheaval among the peoples. And I knew that Cromwell's days himself were but numbers. I knew that he would not last. I was able in the spirit to be free to enter into secret places and listen to the voices of the mighty. I was able to listen to their deliberations. I was able to see into their hearts. And I knew that all the fighting had been of no avail, that there was no good in what had been done, and that no one indeed had benefited. Indeed, it was a sad, sad thought. But I realized that as I went through these things, these experiences, that it was a lesson for me, as indeed I am sure it must have been a lesson for many, to learn from these experiences, that we do not gain anything by these methods which had been employed, that we were no nearer the kingdom of God through, even as we thought, fighting on his side. How oft times it has been said that a nation or a people is not fighting on the side of the Lord. Any man who takes up arms to fight on the side of the Lord, as he says, as soon as he takes unto himself those weapons, he is no longer on the side of the Lord. He indeed has lost sight of the Lord in consequence of taking upon himself a task to kill. For it has been said that we must love darkness. If we are to overcome the evils within ourselves, we must learn first of all to love all people and all things. If we cannot solve any problem by taking arms, to kill our enemy is not to destroy him, as indeed truly have I found. Indeed, I can see back into the past centuries and time to this present moment, and can truthfully say that when you kill your enemy, you strengthen him. For oft times he will cling to the earth, and he will hold thoughts of evil. He will hold thoughts of revenge, and he will impinge himself by his thoughts upon the minds of untold numbers of peoples, and one generation will breathe forth a new generation of hatred and malice and intolerance. And so another war, even worse, more ghastly, more terrible than the last, would ensue in consequence, bred by thought, by hatred, by intolerance. Indeed, it is true to say, if you seek peace, if you seek the tranquility of the spirit that can yet be yours upon earth, you must first learn to love God, endeavor to serve him in all ways. In all that you do, in all that you think, in all that you say. But above all, you must love the matter. You must love his children. You must work in love and in peace to do the will of the Father on earth. For this is your golden opportunity. That is why you are planted into the seed of earth, that you might grow and in consequence you might express God in that beauty that ensues from your soul that is implanted within the body of earth. You have great and wonderful opportunity to give forth great things to the world in love, in service, in humility. My children, you can do a great work. This I know you strive to do. But you are planting the seed of truth, righteousness, and love in the hearts of those who listen. To these things that we say, you are giving them the fruits of your labors. You are giving to them the opportunity. It is for them to accept it. It is for them not only to accept, but in consequence, eventually, to give forth themselves that which has been freely given. You are truly blessed, for you do the work of the Most High. You do the work of the Spirit. You give forth the tidings of great joy, as in the days of old. May God be with you. May God bless you. May God protect, guard, and uphold all that you do. May your strength be enabled, so that you can go forward for many years yet to come, to serve and to work in peace and in love. My blessings be upon you, children.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very, very much.
Lovely message.
Lovely message. Thank you, children. May not spend a good belief.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.